You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm back. It's your girl, Nancy Ruffin. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of my show. I have been MIA of these past few weeks, and I'm so sorry. Oh, my life has been a roller coaster this past month. June has been crazy. I'm so happy the month is over and that I am getting a sense of normalcy back in my life. Listen, June is the month of graduations, birthdays, Father's Day. There were so many different things going on in my life in June that every single weekend was jam-packed with things and commitments and just get-togethers that I had to be a part of. And it just really made it difficult to, you know, to push out new episodes of the podcast every week. And I am a huge advocate of paying attention to your body and to your mind and to your spirit when it's telling you to pause and take a break. And so that was where I was. I just did not have it in me to push out a new episode every week in the month of June. So I took that month off. And so my apologies, I missed you all, but your girl needed a break. And I will encourage you to do the same thing if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you are feeling overburdened, if you have a lot of things going on right now. I encourage you that as soon as you can, take a break. You need to take breaks. Because if you are not at your best, you cannot give your best, right? Because you cannot give what you do not have. And operating under this idea that we have to push ourselves to the brink of a breakdown is not something that I'm ever going to promote or condone or do any of that. I don't do it for myself, and I don't want you to do it either. It's okay to take a break. The world is not going to end because you decide to rest and you decide to pause. All of the things that you have to get to will still be there. But it's better to get to them and to handle them when you are fully rested, when you are rejuvenated, when you have refilled your cup and you actually have something to give. You know, recently, one of my friends reached out to me because one of her friends died suddenly. And as far as I know, the man was not ill or sick, right? Well, as far as anyone knows, because we never know what is really going on in our bodies if we're not taking care of ourselves, if we're not having, you know, annual checkups, if we're not going to the doctor when we're not feeling well. But in any case, you know, she had left me a voice note on Instagram because he had suddenly passed away, and she was just so overwhelmed with emotion and she was sad. And from what she mentioned to me was that, you know, this man and his wife, they were under a lot of stress. They own and operate a food truck. And, you know, because of COVID and the pandemic, it really affected their business. And I think that for the past year, they've been struggling to make ends meet. And suddenly, you know, he passed away. And so I say all that to say that life is short. Life is shorter than we think. And because it is, and because no one is promised tomorrow, it is so important that we take care of ourselves today. Set boundaries on your time. Do not spend every waking minute of your day working. If you can't get your job done within 8 hours, then you need to look at yourself and ask yourself why you are not prioritizing your tasks accordingly. There is no reason why anyone shouldn't be able to accomplish the most important tasks in a day within 8 hours. There should be no reason why you're working 10, 14, 16, 18 hour days, because whatever you're working on today in those excess amount of hours, you can work on tomorrow. And so set a time as to when you are going to end your workday and stick to it. You know, I had a young woman in my Power Up cohort that just recently ended, and that was something that she struggled with. And, you know, it was a 4-week intensive, and the cohort really is designed to help the participants really stick to their goals, establish a routine so that once the 4 weeks are over, they have something that they're consistently working on, like a goal that they really want to work on, and they're getting into the habit of incorporating that task into their daily activities. But for this one individual, that is where she struggles, you know, and it was something that we talked about every single week that we met. And what I realized is that so much of how we operate in our daily lives, in our careers, in, you know, the things that are part of our responsibilities, right? They might not be what's most important to us, but they may be what we are responsible for. And when we think about work and when we think about our careers, you know, it's a responsibility. You have to show up. You have to produce. And so much of how we show up in our work has to do with the beliefs that we have about ourselves. And so if we carry with us beliefs that are limiting, that prevent us from really stepping into and owning our greatness, right? We're always going to be feeling like we have something to prove, right? When you lack the confidence, maybe your self-esteem is low. Maybe someone has told you that in order to be successful, you know, you have to put in 10, 12, 14 hours a day. We carry that with us. And then if we don't live up to that standard or that expectation, then we feel like we're failures. But I will tell you that you should never allow another person's beliefs or opinions to be projected onto you. You should not be carrying their expectations of what success is or what success looks like. You have to define that for yourself. And so for me, success looks like being able to end my workday at a reasonable hour. For me, success means that I have ample time to spend with my family, that I have enough time to pour back into myself, to luxuriate, to spend some time, you know, just taking care of my physical, mental, emotional needs, being able to spend time with my husband, with my friends, with my loved ones. Like, if I can do those things, then for me, that means I have been successful in creating the kind of life that I want. I have never allowed my success to be defined by another person's expectation. And success is subjective, right? So it looks different for all of us. And so I encourage you to spend some time alone in meditation, in prayer, during your journaling time, and really ask yourself this question: what does success look like to me? If I did this, this, and this, I would feel like I'm a success, right? Because once you define success for yourself, then you will start to create create a routine and cultivate behaviors that are going to contribute to that success mindset. And you have to let go of whatever beliefs, whatever limiting beliefs you've been carrying with you throughout this entire time. You have to believe that you are worthy of more. No one was created to work every second of their life. I mean, even Jesus rested on the Sabbath. He created the world and everything in it in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. So you have to make sure that you are carving out enough time for your rest. Jesus was the example. And if he could create the entire world in 6 days, then you surely can complete your own work within a reasonable time. Anyway, I just went on a rant, but it's so important. It's so important to really understand that there's so much more to life than work. And I see so many people give so much to their work. And at the end of the day, they will let you go in a heartbeat. You are replaceable, just as I am replaceable. And I'm not saying to go in there and slack off. Absolutely not. You go in there and you do what you get paid to do for the hours that you're supposed to, right? Most jobs, you're working 40-hour weeks. Anything that you give more than that is now taking away from your own personal life. And you have to have a balance between your work life and your personal life. And you can't spend the majority of your life working. Because honestly, what do we work for, right? We work so that we can enjoy our lives, so that we can support ourselves, we can have a roof over our head, that we can enjoy just going out and doing things, taking vacations, right? Our jobs provide the means for us to be able to do that. But if you're working so much that you don't even get to enjoy the fruits of your labor, then what is the purpose, right? And that's what you have to start asking yourself. What is the purpose? How do I define success? And then start cultivating a life around that so that you can start enjoying the fruits of your labor. And it's not just you working, working, working all the time. All right. With that said, when we come back, I am going to be discussing this week what it means to increase your faith. Right, in my Women of Faith Bible study group that I have every single week, this has been the main theme. And faith is one of the things that many of us struggle with, right? Because we know that faith is the hope of things unseen, right? So how do we believe in something that we haven't seen before? How do we believe that something is going to come to pass when we have no idea how? Right? We always want to know the how. We want to know the why. We want to have the answers. And when we don't get them, it's hard for us to have faith. Right? But I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk about why it's important for us to increase our faith. And also how we can use our past experiences as indicators of the future, right? And of what God is going to do in our lives because of what he has already done. So we're going to take a break, go get yourself something to drink, maybe grab a pen and paper if you haven't already done so. Take some notes, because when I come back, we're about to blow minds, okay? I'm about to just share some gems that you really are going to want to take down and then internalize, right? It's about not just hearing the message, but understanding the message and then deciding what you're going to do now that you know better, right? Because when you know better, you do better, right? So come right back and we're going to get right into it.
Hello, my name is Avery. You are listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show. Make sure to subscribe and leave a comment if you're new. Hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. I hope you got yourself comfortable because we are about to get into this word this week where I'm talking about what it means to increase your faith, what it means to believe in God's promises for your life, and how we can step more fully into that, even when we feel like we're struggling in our faith. Because God will test you. God will test your faith by putting you in experiences and in situations that you don't understand. And this, the understanding piece, is the piece that so many of us struggle with. But before I get into the word, I just want to say that the way that we really start to increase our faith is by increasing how much we read God's word. How are you showing up every single day in your relationship with God? How are you cultivating that relationship so that you're allowing God to move in your life in a very real way? Right? Because in order to have faith, you have to believe. You have to believe in God. You have to believe that He can do the impossible, that He can manifest things in His own power that you can't in your own. You know, and these past few days have been, for me, really emotional, because on June 30th, I celebrated my 2-year, birthday in Christ, right? June 30th, 2019 was the day that I became born again. I got baptized. I gave my life back to Christ. And I committed myself to following Jesus, to living a life more aligned with how Jesus would want me to live. And really what it means is that I'm no longer living for myself. I'm living for Him. So everything that I do, every thought that I have, every action, like everything is based on what would Jesus do, right? And what would Jesus want me to do? Like, it's not about me anymore. And part of the relationship that I'm building with Christ is being committed to His word, to not just reading His word, but to studying it and to understand it in a way that I can turn to when I find myself in those moments of doubt, when I find myself in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a trial that I may not understand, in the middle of a situation that makes me ask God why. Right? The answers are in His word. But until we commit to establishing that relationship, until we make it a priority to make sure that we're reading scripture every single day and filling our minds with the words of the Lord, like, we are never going to increase our faith, because in the Bible, there are so many examples. There are so many examples of God's promises and how they come to pass and how He fulfills them. And we see them in so many different people, you know, and in the Women of Faith group, like, this is what we're doing every week. We are intentionally reading scriptures where God is showing up and showing out. Like, and He's showing us who He is and what His power and what can be possible in the lives of those who believe in Him, right? And He says in the Bible that you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So you have to be looking for Him, like, because God is always there. God has never left your side. Even when you feel like He's abandoned you, He's right there. The problem is that you've turned away from God, because this is what we do in our humanity. We think that we don't need God, that we don't need Jesus. We think that we can make it through this world on our own. And then when we get smacked in the face, when we hit a brick wall, where we find, you know, this rock that we can't move or a door that we can't open, right? We want to say, well, God, why?
But the thing is that God also gave us free will. So the why is because we have decided to turn away from God. We have decided to not follow his lead or follow his example and instead think that we could live this life on our own without any guidance from him. But we can't. And then when we find ourselves, you know, rock bottom, that's when we turn to God, right? And that's when we say, God, help me, or God, I need you, or God, make this thing happen in my life. Like, that is when we look for God. We only turn to God when things are going bad. And then when things are going right, we want to give ourselves all the credit. Yeah, like, I did that. Yeah, it was on me. Mm-mm. It don't work like that. Like, we got to praise God through all the seasons, through the good seasons, through the bad seasons. God is always there. And when you find yourself in those moments of despair, maybe you're depressed, maybe you're sad, you're in pain, you're hurt, all of these things, and you think that God has abandoned you, that is when God is there. He's showing up more fully for you. The problem is that you have turned away from him for so long that you don't know how to go back. And so I invite you to start reestablishing that connection that you have with the Lord, with your creator. He already knows what it is that you need. He knows it. And he is going to equip you with the things that are going to make you stronger, that are going to build you up. He is going to place the right people in your life. He is going to make sure that the right situations happen. He's going to make sure that the right doors close on you. Because sometimes the doors that we want to go through, that we want to walk through, are not the doors that are meant for us. Sometimes those doors lead to destruction, but we don't know that because we're not God. We only see what we want, but we don't know what's on the other side. So when a door closes, let it close. When God removes people from your life, let them leave. He knows what he's doing. Your steps have already been ordered by the Lord. You just have to learn to follow. You got to pay attention. Stop trying to live this life in your own way and then wondering why things keep screwing up, why things are a mess, because you keep wanting to do things your way instead of doing things God's way. But I digress. This week, we're talking about faith. How do we increase our faith? Well, let me tell you something. I have been reading the book of Genesis. Today, I read Genesis chapter 15. And this, Genesis 13 through like the middle of the book. I mean, this is the story of Abraham. Right. We see how God chose Abraham to fulfill all of the promises of his kingdom. Right. We know that Abraham is called the father of nations. Right. God told him specifically, I am going to make you a father of nations, of many men. There's going to be so many descendants that come from you that when you look up in the sky and you see the stars, as many as you can count is how many your descendants are going to be. Like, that is just, that was his promise. And he also promised him the land of Canaan, right? But we know that Abraham was an old man when God was telling him these things. And Abraham was like, how am I going to be a father of many? I'm like 75 years old. I have no sons. I have no heirs. My wife is old. Like, he just like, how is it possible? But this is man, right? In our own thinking, we can't understand things because we've never seen it, right? So how can you envision something happening that you've never seen before, that has never happened before? That's where faith steps in. You have to have faith that just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean that it's impossible. So in this chapter, one of the verses that really stuck out to me is verse 6, one line. It's 5 words. Abraham believed in the Lord. That's it. Abraham believed in the Lord. So in this chapter, God is making a covenant with Abram, and he's not even Abraham yet, because God hasn't even changed his name yet in this chapter. His name is still Abram. But God makes a covenant with Abram to make his offspring as plentiful as the stars in the sky, right? He also tells him that he's going to give him the land of Canaan. Even though Abram is old and can't understand how he is going to father a child, he's like 75 years old, just crazy. He believes in what the Lord is telling him. He may not understand it. He is still choosing to believe, right? Because God doesn't call for our understanding. God doesn't want us to understand. All God wants us to do is to believe. So he has faith in God's promise. So God, in this chapter, after all this is transpiring, he causes Abram to fall asleep. It's like a deep sleep. And in the sleep, he reveals a prophecy about the future of Abram's descendants, right? So in this dream, in this prophecy, God is telling Abram that his descendants, his offspring, right, these men that are going to make him a great nation, that they're going to live as slaves for 400 years. 400 years. You know how many generations that is? They're going to live as slaves for 400 years in another country serving that nation. And when you hear something like that, could you imagine you're dreaming and in the dream you hear God, God is talking to you and he's going to tell you, yeah, I promise you all of these things. But before all that comes to pass, your people are going to be slaves. And not only are they going to be slaves, they're going to be slaves for 400 years. So that means that Abraham is not even going to be alive to see God's promises come to pass. Okay. And so when they finally come to get released, that is when God's promises are going to come to fruition. And what I really love about this chapter is that it shows that sometimes God's promises are not going to be fulfilled in our own lifetime. And so that even calls us to have greater faith, right? Because the things that God is promising us may not be for us ourselves. It might be for our descendants, for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, like all of the future generations that are going to be born because we have been born, right? Because we have started the branch on the family tree that all of these other people are going to spring forth from, right? So sometimes we won't live to see the blessing, but our descendants will. And it also shows that everything happens on God's timing. He tells Abraham that his descendants will be slaves for 400 years before the blessing comes to pass. The average person will ask why, right? Like you and me, like, if that was my dream and I'm having a conversation with God, like I want to know, like, why? Why do we have to be enslaved first? Like, why does that have to happen? But you know what? It's not our place to even ask why. We just have to be obedient and we just have to stay faithful. And there has to be a reason why it's happening in 400 years. And so often when we ask God for things and we want to be blessed, we want it to happen on our own time. And then when it doesn't happen on our own time, we're disappointed or we feel like God is forsaking us. And the truth is that we have to start learning to just trust that everything that is happening in our lives, whatever is happening to us happening for us, for our greater good. All of it, the good, the bad, the pain, the hurt, the joy, the happiness, all of it has a purpose. And so when things happen, like slavery, like ugly things like that, ugly things like wars, ugly things like death and sicknesses and cancer and little babies dying, right? Or like one of our parents dies or we lose a spouse or like whatever. When these ugly things happen in our lives that we don't understand, it's hard for us to see the blessing in that, right? Because all we want to do is we want to know why, and we don't want to feel the pain that is attached to the lost. But the Bible tells us, the word tells us, God tells us that all of it, everything that God does, he uses the very things that we don't understand to ultimately do good, even if it isn't in our lifetime. And so I invite you to contemplate on what I'm going to say next. What if that illness, that death, that hardship, that struggle, that situation is God's way of planting the seed that will flourish into the greatest blessing in your future or in the future of your descendants, right? In the future of your children, in the future of your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. Wouldn't our suffering now, right? The pain that we're feeling now, the hurt that we're feeling now, the heartbreak that we're feeling now, wouldn't all that be worth it if it meant that we are saving that same pain and anguish of being experienced from our descendants? If it meant that our children and our great-grandchildren and all of the descendants that are coming after us were guaranteed a brighter, better future, wouldn't we say, yeah, you know what? Let me go through this now. Let me endure the pain. Let me endure the suffering. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want that for my great-grandkids. And those of you who are parents know, you know that you would do anything to prevent your child or your loved one from feeling pain or hurt or disappointment or anything. So what if everything that you're enduring now is going to be the catalyst for the greatest blessing that is going to come upon your family and the future generations? We have to do better in our faith. We have to learn to increase our faith and trust that things will work out even if we don't understand it, because God does not ask for our understanding. He asks us to have faith and to believe. That is it. And asking why and wanting those answers are not going to get us any closer. They're not even going to make us feel any better. They're not. You're still going to feel the pain. You're still going to feel the hurt. You're still going to feel all of it. So instead of asking God why, ask him to increase your faith. Ask him to make you a believer so that you can endure the difficult season, so that you can look forward to the promises that he has made to give you a future and to give you all of the things that you desire. Sometimes God uses these bad things as a way to build us up, as a way to strengthen us, you know? And so I just want to leave it there, because I know how hard it is to stay faithful, especially when there's so much tragedy surrounding us. But being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that we're never going to experience pain or suffering. On the contrary, being a follower of Jesus means that we are absolutely going to suffer. If Christ suffered and he endured the most suffering, that is an example of what we have not to look forward to, but of what is our lives are going to be like. We are going to suffer in this life, but we also know that once we are done here in this life, those who are following Jesus, those who are building his kingdom, are going to be exalted just like he was. We are going to be in the kingdom of heaven where there's no suffering, there's no pain, there's nothing that we experience in this world, but we have to endure that in this world. And we have to follow God, and we have to stay faithful, and we have to believe. So if you are struggling in this season, I ask you to double down on your faith. Get your face into the Bible. Read scripture. Read all of the stories where God is showing up and he is fulfilling his promises and he's healing sick people and he's raising people from the dead. That is the God that I follow. That is the God that I believe in. And if he can do that back then, there's nothing that he can't do. Not in my life, not in your life. He can do anything. And he will do anything for those who believe in him, for those who seek him and seek him with all their heart. He will always be there. He will always be by your side. He will never forsake you. So until next time, mi gente, thank you for tuning in. If this episode blessed you at all, please share it. Please leave a review, leave a comment, give us a rating, share us on your social, tag me at The Nancy Ruffin Show, at I Am Nancy Ruffin. Give us a testimonial. I mean, anything. In the world of algorithms, numbers matter. Reviews matter. Ratings matter. It takes 2 minutes, not even, less than 2 minutes to just say, yes, I love the show. That's one sentence. It'll take less than 10 seconds. So until next time, I pray that you stay blessed. Have an incredible week and catch me next week. You know where to find me, right here on The Nancy Ruffin Show.
Thank you for listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show. I hope you enjoyed spending your time. Bye.